No one knows what is the exact time of death. Death is always very much close to us. Every moment it is possible to happen. One of the very well-known scholars in Tehran, he was making a dua on the pulpit, was saying that Bifatimata, Bifatimata, Bifa, then died.
Oh.
He couldn't complete the name Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, death is coming like this.
Mm-hmm.
That even you cannot complete a single word
yes.
to say. So that's why if death is that much close to us, then how can we not be ready always for death? This is the first, important point that should be always considered, that we should always prepare ourselves for death. We should always be ready for death. If you live this way, of course, we will not have that kind of painful death because we are always ready.
That's right.
This is for the person who dies. But at the moment of death, when the person is about to die, it is better said that, for example, if he is experiencing a kind of sakaratul maut or difficult or painful kind of experiences, put the body of that person in the place where he always say the prayer.
Uh-huh, per the salat.
Yeah, the That's salat right. place.
Yes.
So it's better for us to pray always in our home in a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
So the place where he always said the prayer, if you put the body of that person there,
mm-hmm.
in that place, it is very good for him.
That's right.
And reciting the Holy Quran, making dua or praying.
Especially
for that
person. Surah Safat and Surah Yasin are very much mm-hmm. recommended. What is the effect of these two surahs? I mean, is there any...
Spiritual kind of, you know, the point is that our listeners should understand that sometimes when you talk of these spiritual kind of effects,
mm-hmm.
we should know that the soul is the haqiqah of insan.
Yes.
Or the existence of the human is its soul.
Yes.
So that's why in ayat of the Holy Quran and the verses of the Holy Quran, there are spiritual kind of effects for the spiritual phase of our existence. So the moment you recite this ayat of the Holy Quran, it has its own spiritual effects on the soul.
That's right.
Then, of course, if the soul is affected, then, of course, it has its effect on the body.
Mm-hmm.
Look that sometimes, for example, when you are so much unhappy, when you are so much sad,
yes.
even if the other people are very much happy around you, even if your body has no problem, even if you're healthy, but you yes. do not feel well,
mm-hmm.
still your body seems that your body is not okay. If someone mm-hmm. look at your face, he will tell you that, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
You will say, no, my body, there's no problem in my body. I do not need to any doctor, any physician.
Mm-hmm.
But since my soul is, for example, sad,
yes.
that's why it has its effect on the body. There is a kind of relation between soul and body, and soul always affects the body. That's why if you, for example, make soul pleased and happy, then automatically the body becomes
That's
happy.
Right. In Nahjul Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam explained, or is better said, described Sakarat al-Maut. This is really interesting how Imam Ali alayhi salam could do so. This is by divine knowledge. That first a kind of, for example, weakness mm-hmm. is over the body.
Yeah.
The change of the color and the color of the face and the complexion is changed. First, the tongue is out of work, then the mm-hmm. eyes, ears, you know. He's regretting, he is thinking about his actions in this world. He cannot hear, he cannot make a voice. His eyes seems to be circling around. He looks at the people's lips. Again, he cannot hear. After sometimes we can say the soul is taken out of the body. Bruno? Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam also had some description about Sakarat al-Maut. May Allah make this moment of the life easy for the people.
Yeah,
as
course,
we said, soul-like
yeah.
body could be heavy,
yeah.
could be fat, could be thin and light.
Yes.
If you got a light soul, then Sakarat al-Maut will be easy for you. May Allah help us very much at these last moments of our life, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sheikh.
You're welcome.
It was very kind of you explaining the concept of Sakarat al-Maut. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين و أسهى لعلي وحسين وحسان. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن, إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان, لعلي وحسين وحسان. كل من كان محبا لهم, كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن, يدخل الجنة من غير حزن. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن, إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson: the value of being good-natured. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What is the most valuable thing on the Day of Judgment? According to one of the narrations of the Holy Prophet, on the Day of Judgment, nothing is more valuable than good nature. So usually when an infallible uses such a language about a positive trait, it reflects the importance of that trait. It is usually meant to encourage believers to nurture that trait in themselves. So if the Prophet of Allah is saying that this, you know, being good-natured is something that is going to benefit you on the Day of Judgment, and it's a valuable trait to have on the Day of Judgment, it's going to help you, then this is a sort of an encouragement from Prophet of Allah to develop this good nature in ourselves. The Prophet also said, "He who has a good nature will have the reward of those who observe fasting in the day and keep awake praying all of the night." Look how the Prophet again is informing us that when we do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the night, right, we're just doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're praying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're there, right? And also during the daytime, if you're fasting, just imagine how difficult it is to fast every day, you know. Wajib, we're not talking about the wajib fast here. We're saying that, you know, throughout the year, how difficult it would be. Not everybody can do that, right? But anybody who has a good nature, he can get the same amount of reward, you know, potentially by continuing to be good-natured. This is what the Prophet of Allah has informed us about. Thank you. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the value of being good-natured. And we said that, you know, fasting all day long and worshiping all night long, it, according to a narration of Prophet, equates to, in some cases, potentially to being good-natured. This is how important being good-natured is. Let me ask you a question first, right? So what happens if a person is not good-natured? You know, what is the downside of it? And this is where the Prophet said, ill nature corrupts deeds in the same way that vinegar destroys honey. Another important benefit of being good-natured is related to repentance. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the faithful, he said, all of those who repent remain faithful to it, except the ill-natured people. For whenever they abandon a sin, they indulge in another one worse than it. Subhanallah. So Imam is informing us that if you carry an ill nature, a bad nature, which is contrary to what we're discussing, and that is having good nature, then this person is more prone to go from one sin to another. And every time he switches from one sin to another, he becomes, you know, he adopts a worse kind of sin. Repentance is such a blessing of Allah that no matter how astray we may have gone, there is always an opportunity for us to rectify our affairs and be pardoned by Allah. But this opportunity may get taken away from us if we are ill-natured. So as it appears, there is a lot at stake if we take this topic lightly. Let's try to nurture that good nature within ourselves.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
The Israeli regime has freed 39 more Palestinian prisoners in exchange for over a dozen captives freed by the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Israel has released a third batch of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for over a dozen captives freed by the Hamas resistance movement as part of a swap deal, which followed a four-day truce in the Israeli regime's unrelenting war against the Gaza Strip. The Israeli regime released 39 Palestinian prisoners on Sunday, after the Hamas movement freed 17 captives in the third phase of the deal, which was also the third day of the truce agreement. The Hamas resistance movement said in a statement it had handed over 13 Israeli captives in addition to 3 Thai nationals and 1 Russian national to the Red Cross. According to the statement, the Palestinian prisoners released by the Israeli regime were young people who had been arrested by the regime when they were children. Reporting on the exchange process, the Palestinian Information Center said the Israeli military prevented people from gathering in front of Ofer prison near the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah, from which the Palestinian prisoners were released. They also dispersed Palestinians in the town of Beitounia, which is also close to Ofer prison. The Israeli military fired live bullets and tear gas canisters at Palestinian civilians who had gathered close to the facility, wounding a number of them as well as a journalist. Thousands of Palestinians received their liberated prisoners in Ramallah. They gathered in the center of Ramallah city carrying flags of the Hamas movement and chanting slogans in support of the Palestinian resistance movement. In the occupied city of Al-Quds, the Israeli military stormed the homes of liberated prisoners several times, beating the prisoners' families and preventing media outlets from covering the moments of the prisoners' release. They also prevented reception ceremonies for the released Palestinian prisoners. Following the exchange, Mahmoud Mardawi, a senior Hamas official, said the resistance movement is ready to conclude a comprehensive swap agreement with Israel, adding that the ball was now in the Zionist regime's court. Meanwhile, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi says an accomplice in the Israeli regime's crimes against the people of Gaza is the United States of America, which has no right to be part of any decision-making process for Palestinians in the besieged enclave. President Raisi made the remark in a Sunday telephone conversation with his Turkish counterpart, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. During the conversation, the Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, stressed that the United States is the killer of the people of the Gaza Strip, and any intervention by Americans in determining the future course of developments in the Palestinian territory of Gaza would mean continuation of this country's crimes against Palestinians. Noting that Americans are accomplices in the Zionist regime's horrendous crimes and massacring of innocent people in the Gaza Strip, the Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, said the United States has no credit in world public opinion. Americans have no right whatsoever to intervene in any decision-making process for the people of Gaza, and any step they take in this regard is doomed to fail. President Raisi added, "The people of Gaza must have the right to make decisions about the future of the Gaza Strip through the Hamas movement as the legitimate and legal government of this territory, which has been elected through people's votes." The Hamas resistance movement was elected by the people of Gaza to form a government through a popular vote in 2006, which was held a year after the Israeli regime was forced to withdraw from the territory. Following Israel's devastating war on Gaza, some American officials have recently suggested that after the war, Gaza should not be ruled by the Hamas movement. Nearly 15,000 Palestinians have been killed in the Israeli regime's brutal war of aggression against Gaza, which was launched through unwavering military and political support from the United States. Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The exchange of captives between the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas and the Israeli regime continues for a third consecutive day under a four-day truce deal. A third batch of 39 Palestinian prisoners have been freed as the exchange of captives between Hamas and Israel continues for a third day under a four-day truce deal. Large crowds of Palestinians took to the streets in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank on Sunday night as they waited for Red Cross buses carrying the prisoners. Some waved Palestinian flags alongside the flags of the two main Palestinian political parties, the Hamas movement and the Fatah movement. Some youths climbed on top of a white bus transporting mostly young men and some female prisoners. "At first, we did not believe it," Shakir Mahina told Al Jazeera Network while he waited with his family for his son Omar, who recently turned 18 years old. "The last time I visited him, he was frustrated. He told me, 'Dad, I want to leave this prison.'" Mahina's son, who was 16 years old when he was arrested and had 4 months left in his prison sentence. Meanwhile, in nearby town of Beitounia, where some Palestinians had also gathered, three Palestinians aged 15, 18, and 33 were injured after the Israeli military fired live bullets at them. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society confirmed. Two Palestinian children, aged 11 and 13, were admitted to a hospital for tear gas inhalation, according to the Palestinian Red Crescent Society. Earlier on Sunday, 26th of November, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas handed over 13 Israeli captives, including 9 children and 4 foreign nationals, 3 Thai nationals and 1 Israeli-Russian national, to the International Committee of the Red Cross as part of the truce deal. The Israeli-Russian individual was released in response to Russian President Vladimir Putin's efforts and in recognition of Russia's position in support of Palestine, the Hamas movement declared in a statement. The individual is the first male captive to be released since the truce deal came into effect. Meanwhile, U.S. President Joe Biden has said a 4-year-old Israeli-American girl, Abigail Eden, has also been released.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station.
Yeah, we're here again. I am Bita and
I'm Asma. At your service. Home again.
Yeah, exactly. Our pleasure to be here.
Yes,
at your station.
Course.
You know, talking about my days, these days I'm dealing with so many messy things. You know, I feel like I'm really burdened with responsibilities.
Yeah, same in here.
Responsibilities, studies, and wherever I go, I have to communicate with so many
people. Check to all
yeah.
that.
You know, especially in dorm, I have to say hello to everyone I see.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I'm an introvert, let me alone. And, you know, this feeling and so on. And all of these things will feel like there is dirt in my soul, you know?
Dirt, not polluted.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Darkened, and yeah, and
burdened.
And
actually burdened.
I feel like I want to be free from all these burden on my shoulder for a moment. And I'm trying to find
what do you
ways.
Do for that?
I'm trying to actually do different methods, but still, I think I didn't find the best way.
Still, you're wondering.
Yeah.
Well, there are different methods for different people. As for me, when I come back home from the dorm and the stories of the dorm and then the university and then the much of burdens that I have on my shoulder.
I know.
The first thing that could do me too much of good is to sleep. To have enough of a sleep and forget about everything.
Nice method. I will try it.
But it won't take so long because for the next week we have a lot to do as well. So it's just like a cycle. Yeah, there must be some ways to purify all the things that has got into our soul and they are redundant. We don't want them there. So many people would try and go for a travel.
Yeah, you know, I have a problem with this point that we try to purify our soul with the things that are still physical. Like, you know, we go for travel. I feel like we have to go beyond these physical things.
Yeah.
And I think this is the same mindset even in European countries in different ways. You know, they are doing meditation.
Oh, yeah,
and, you know,
meditation.
And these sort of things. I don't like meditation, by the way.
Because, you know, well, let's be honest.
Fake.
To some extent, listening to those cool, relaxing musics and then sitting in a corner imagining that, okay, there are beautiful breezes that get into my face and then I kind of smell the smell of the sea and then, you know, things like that, the stories they try to tell. I'm not saying that it doesn't work at all, but it needs a focused brain.
And at least
like
that
the
you
things
believe
that I
in
don't
that.
Have.
Yeah.
Whenever I have tried meditation, I can't. I focus more on my problem. I don't know why. There's this thing that whenever I sit in a place and there is that relaxing music going on, unconsciously, all the burdens that I have get into my brain.
Yeah. You know, I have two problems, two basic problems with this meditation and this story. The first one is that the whole story of meditation seems to be spiritual, but it's completely physical. Because when you try to meditate, you think of some physical joys, like the things that you mentioned.
Like my foot are touching the sands of
exactly.
the shore.
What does that mean, these kind of things and stories, like imaginary things? We're not living in La Biancos or something. We're living this real world.
Well, she is,
which is harsh.
So much forcing you into realism.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing.
Because I am an idealistic person and I'm suffering from this point of view. So I don't want you to be like me.
But I guess you have to change your point of view a bit. Well, I'm a realistic person as well, but that's not the only thing that I have. You know, a bit of realism is good. A bit of imagination is good. You know, I like realism with a tinge.
I'm not trying to kill my emotions.
I like a realism with a tint of, you know, imagination.
Yeah.
What was this?
The second reason, we're enjoying that. Yeah, which is really
important. The first reason is that we're not living an imaginary life. It's not real. It's fake.
It's a bit of materialistic point of view, this meditation whole story.
Okay, and then the next one.
And I feel an emptiness in that. The second reason is that this meditation is a stories. Doesn't have a kind of, you know, strong spiritual force. Like, for example, when you have a kind of strong connection with Allah Almighty, it's completely another story.
That's a different, that's different.
You find the meaning, the truth,
the
truth of life in that connection.
Exactly.
But in meditation, you're trying to fake in it. You're trying to actually use an alternative instead of going for Allah Almighty or something.
Exactly.
And this is something we see in Western countries. They are trying and killing themselves to find a way at a time that there is a way.
And most of these people who go for meditation and stuff like that, they're
so
suffering
depressed.
Suffering from
depression,
so much of depression.
And
that's, I guess, a contradiction to what they say. They say that meditation is going to purify your soul, is going to make you feel better and joyful about your life. But then that's not the whole truth. The thing you mentioned actually needs to be talked about too much, but then let's go for a short break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Meditation. Well, everybody talks about it, but unfortunately, it does not work as much as it has been said everywhere.
Exactly. And we talk about so
many reasons.
I guess
it's much ado about nothing. Well, again, I very realistically draw your attention to the point that it might work to some extent.
Yeah.
It might change your
mood.
Your mood for, it's a momentary change, you know? It's not going to be there forever in your soul. But then the thing that you said, as in sitting at the corner of your room and then opening up the Holy Book of Quran and then starting to recite that. And then after that, just talking with Allah as you're sleeping in your bed, that's different to spiritual meditation.
It is. And I think we have so many opportunities like that in our religion, Islam. Like many rituals we have.
Exactly,
Even prayings that
the
we
whole
do
point
five
is,
times a day.
Yeah, and the whole point of all of them is just to purify your soul.
Exactly.
To release all the goodness into your soul.
Yeah, we have this narration that all these prayings is like a river, that you wash yourself in that
river
five times a day. And this is why it is really important to put the remembrance of Allah Almighty as your meditation. Yeah. Even if there may be some people like they lack faith or something, after a time that you find your connection with Allah Almighty, this problem will be solved.
Well, honestly speaking, when I read the story, the biography of the life of great religious scholars, most of them were speaking about a spiritual journey and experience that is so special. That was about the prayers of the night. When they woke up in the heart of the night, when everybody was asleep, they woke up and then they started talking to Allah, reciting the Holy Book of Quran. I'm not going to say that I have done that a lot, but at least for some times in my life, I have experienced that, and it's actually beyond description.
Yeah, it is.
You cannot put it into words because, you know, just imagine the scenery. Like everybody's asleep, as if the entire world is dead and you alone are alive. And then you have this opportunity to get closer to the Lord that owns the world and everything beyond.
It's a really nice feeling that I've experienced it myself.
Now, like, this is the true meditation.
Yeah, it is. You feel like you are the only one to see of Allah Almighty. And all of the tension, the angels are looking at you. And this feeling is mesmerizing.
You feel like you've done something extraordinary.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you feel like His attention, as you just said, is just for me.
Yeah.
And that feeling gives you too much of, I don't know how to say it.
For me, it's like hope.
Like you're released, like you're free, like you are light as feather, and like you have everything in the palm of your hand.
It's exactly the purification I think we're looking for.
Yeah.
And, but these days, you know, we are replacing so many other things with that. Because this vibe, this feeling is something really specific that doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, it doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, you cannot
sometimes
find it every
the
day.
Hustles and bustles of life entangle you in a way that you do not either physically don't find the energy to go for it, or mentally you feel like you have a lot of things to do. Like I'm not free to do that much to get into that experience.
Yeah. And this is exactly the time that you have to decide within these, all the things that you have to do.
Yeah.
And you won't do because you don't do the main thing, which is the meditation of your mental health.
Yeah.
And your soul.
And you know, Bita, we all have experienced that. When we have a strong connection, that meditative sort of connection with Allah, we feel like everything is going so smoothly. We feel like there is no much of burden on my shoulder. I feel like this life that I'm living is the same life, but it's not the same. It's going so easy in a way that I feel like somebody is just taking me through the steps.
You know, I express it as the hand of Allah Almighty on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a nice image of the feeling that you're expressing right now. And I think it happens to every single one of us. Every individual has the same journey in maybe different contents, different time, and so many other things.
And by the way,
it's a blessing.
Just for the record, I'm not saying that all these beautiful feelings happen and you have no problem in your life.
Yeah.
No,
in
the hardest and darkest part of your life, when there is this title of hard times attached to your life, even in those time, in those eras, ages, whatever you call it, this feeling is going to be more clear for you.
Exactly. The darker it is, the brighter it will shine for you.
Exactly.
And, the only concept that we have to put our focus on is the presence of Allah Almighty in every stage, in every shot of our life. Okay?
Yeah.
So,
I always say that those people who have a strong faith and they do whatever they have been asked to do.
They are really powerful.
Yeah, by Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. They did not feel the need for stuff like meditation, like going for this and that, for the wrong manifestations of the true concept that they can have. But they just forget about it and they go, you know, you forget the main source And you go for the branches.
Yeah.
For the, as you just said, materialistic branches.
And they don't have root.
They don't have, and they are momentary. Most awfully, the thing that is wrong with them is that they're momentary. I have experienced that myself. They do not work. The longest time they would have effect on you is going to be for an hour if you're such a very focused person.
Exactly.
But either than that, it's not going to do any, because then again, you come back out of that place, out of that gym, whatever you call it, and then you face the realities of your life. And then trust me, you forget meditation, you forget all those beautiful musics, you forget all those beautiful words and imaginations, and then you're back to that sad, tragic life, and you don't have the kind of religious meditations, that spiritual meditations that we were just talking about. Those meditations are just different. They would be permanent in your soul.
Somehow I would like to call it a spiritual journey.
Yeah, spiritual journey.
This spiritual journey is, I think, specific and unique for every one of us. And I hope you just enjoy this.
And experience
this
it.
Road. Experience because, it by every soul of your body.
Because that night prey that I was just talking about, it's an experience that I think everybody must have it.
Yeah, I do agree.
Because after you experience that, then trust me, you won't go for anything else. That would be the only remedy and healer that you could have in your life.
Exactly. Nights, Holy Quran, remembrance of Allah, I think that's enough.
And lonesome. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you just enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that, inshallah, in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif, Ya Allah, Allah, Ya Allah, Allah, Ya Allah, Allah, Allah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In Britain, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has defended his commitment to reducing legal migration to the United Kingdom after the latest figures show a new record high migration to UK for the year to December 2022. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is about to clamp down on immigration and concede in the face of growing Tory anger about his past performance that there is obviously a lot more to do to reduce the record numbers of people immigrating to the United Kingdom. Earlier this week, official figures showed net migration is running at a record high, prompting Boris Johnson, Suella Braverman and other right-wing Conservatives to attack Rishi Sunak for failing to honour the government's 2019 Tory manifesto pledge to bring overall migration numbers down. Sunak initially refused to comment when asked whether he would apologise for failing to meet his pledge. On Thursday, 23rd of November, the Office for National Statistics, the ONS, revealed net migration into the United Kingdom peaked at 745,000 in the year to December 2022. meaning nearly 750,000 more people legally immigrated to the United Kingdom than left the country. This figure is 3 times higher than the levels seen before Brexit. Speaking to the Mail on Sunday, Prime Minister Sunak said, "There is obviously a lot more to do, and that's why we need to take action. I announced previously significant tightening up on the number of dependents that students can bring to this country, which has seen a very striking rise over the past year or two. This represents the single biggest measure of restriction on legal migration than anyone's announced in years. That should give people a sense of my determination to bring these numbers down. As we go over them, as we see other areas of abuse, we won't hesitate to take action and clamp down," he added. Britain's Immigration Minister Robert Jenrick is understood to have worked up a plan designed to appease calls from right-wing Tories for the government to take action. Robert Jenrick's plan is said to include proposals to scrap the shortage occupation list, a programme that allows foreign workers to be paid 20% below the going rate in roles where there is a shortage of skilled workers. The government's Migration Advisory Committee has already recommended the abolition of the list amid fears it is being used to bring cheap foreign labour into the United Kingdom. Number 10 Downing Street refused to say what Rishi Sunak made of Robert Jenrick's proposals when asked by journalists, saying Number 10 would not be getting into running commentary on policy development. However, any attempt to bring down the number of skilled workers arriving in the United Kingdom is likely to be met with anger and resistance by people working in the National Health Service and social care, where there are chronic staff shortages. Sunak tried to defend his immigration record by stressing that there has been a fall in the number of people arriving by small boat across the channel. He said, "I've come into this job, I've had it for a year, and I've already got the numbers down by a third, so I think people can trust me when I say I'm going to do something and I'm going to deliver on that promise. I need to finish the job, and that means getting the Rwanda deal up and running. I'm prepared to do whatever is necessary to get that scheme operational." Prime Minister Sunak has pledged not to let a foreign court stop flights to Rwanda, with plans for a new treaty and emergency legislation to ensure the plan is legally watertight. But it was Britain's Supreme Court rather than a foreign court that dealt the latest blow to the government's hopes of sending asylum seekers who arrive in the United Kingdom on a one-way flight to Rwanda. Prime Minister Sunak also played down claims by Suella Braverman that she had struck a deal with him to lend his leadership candidacy her support in exchange for key promises. "Of course you have conversations with people when you are in a leadership election and not just Suella," Sunak said. Asked about whether she could produce proof of a deal, he said, "That's a question for her. I'm getting on with actually delivering things." In further comments to the Mail on Sunday, Rishi Sunak also said that Jeremy Hunt's record tax-cutting autumn statement is the start of a journey, suggesting he's contemplating further tax cuts before the next general election. He said the government will do more than we can on tax cuts. "I always said I wanted to cut people's taxes, but first we had to get inflation under control and stabilise the economy. We have now done that, and it didn't happen by accident. The Chancellor and I took a set of decisions that weren't easy, that we got a lot of flak for, that the Labour Party opposed in order to have inflation and defy the sceptics. Everyone said we'll be going to have a recession this year in the United Kingdom, but we have grown the economy. Because of that, our economic policy can shift gears." Sunak added, "This is the start of a journey. We will do more when we can because I want to cut taxes further." Sky News has also covered the same story and tells us more. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has defended his commitment to reducing legal migration to the United Kingdom after figures published on Thursday, 23rd of November, showed that it has soared. Net migration to the United Kingdom for the year to December 2022 was revised up from 606,000 to a record 745,000. For the year to June of this year, net migration stood at 672,000. The figures have provoked fury from conservative backbenchers as the party has promised to cut net migration over its 13 years in government. But the Prime Minister did not apologise for breaking his manifesto commitments when asked, telling journalists, "I'm very clear that the levels of migration are too high and they've got to come down to more sustainable levels. I've been clear about that." It's good to see that the Office for National Statistics on Thursday did say that the levels of migration are now slowing down, in their words, which is a welcome step. However, Sunak acknowledged there was more to do, saying, "That is why I announced a policy earlier to clamp down on the number of dependents that students can bring when they're coming to this country, where we've seen a very significant rise in that number. That action that I took represents the single toughest measure that anyone has taken to bring down the levels of legal migration in a very long time." Rishi Sunak added, "So that should give people a sense of my commitment to bringing migration down. And if we further see abuse of the system, of course, we're prepared to act on that." Asked about the proposals made by his immigration minister, Robert Jenrick, to limit net migration, the Prime Minister dodged the question and repeated his previous answer, adding that there is much more to do. However, there is real fury within the Conservative Party at the latest migration figures published on Thursday, 23rd of November. Net migration to the United Kingdom for the year to December 2022 was revised up from 606,000 to a record 745,000. For the year to June of this year, net migration stood at 672,000.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the organizers of the International Congress in honor of Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai on November 8, 2023. The late Allama Tabatabai was one of the exceptional wonders of our seminaries in the last centuries. The qualities that made up this man's character were all some of the superior virtues of a person. The late Mr. Tabatabai, rahmatullah alayh, was able to form a strong intellectual base using an active, offensive approach. With both his book, The Principles of Philosophy, and also with his explanatory statements, this exegesis is filled with a sea of political and social knowledge. His book of commentary, Al-Mizan, is also about political and social issues that had not even been raised at that time. Today, when we look at these issues, we see that they are also related to the present day. This active and offensive intellectual base was created by the late Mr. Tabatabai. This is one point. That is what I think we should learn from Mr. Tabatabai. We need to form intellectual bases that fill the voids and have an active, offensive nature toward the other side rather than assuming a passive, defensive position.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
His second characteristic, which in my opinion is also a very prominent, important characteristic, is that in the field of monotheistic teachings and divine concepts that he had come to understand, he did not stop at intellectual growth. He grasped those concepts and truths with his noble heart and soul, and he put his knowledge into practice. These characteristics, which he is known for, such as his extraordinary humbleness and not following his desires, were all due to this fact. His patience and his humility were due to the fact that he had grasped those concepts and high levels of knowledge with his soul. When people saw him, it truly seemed to them that he was not concerned with himself. He was patient. He had a very gentle attitude towards others, and he would even treat those who argued with him or had disputes with him with patience and tolerance. He would forgive them.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been guiding me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Pro-Palestinian protesters filled the streets of the Yemeni capital to praise the success of the Palestinian resistance movement and condemn the Israeli regime. Protesters hailed resistance efforts, which they say delivered a humiliating defeat to the Israeli army. Yemenis said they will continue to fight alongside the Palestinians until victory.
We tell the Zionists and the Americans that the Yemeni people who just came out of an eight-year battle and a strangling blockade, that we have put all this aside and are stepping forward to stand with our Palestinian brothers and the Palestinian cause, because it is our main cause. We tell the Palestinians, you are not alone.
The demonstration also praised the Yemeni army's resilience in taking meaningful military actions, which pressured the Israeli regime to accept a ceasefire. Yemeni operations consisted of launching a series of drone and ballistic missiles to occupied Palestine and the latest capture of the Israeli-linked ship in the Red Sea.
We will close Bab al-Mandeb and we will seize the Israeli and American ships until they stop the aggression on our Palestinian brothers and the resistance in Gaza. We will strike with missiles and the drones. Our missiles will even target the Zionists inside Gaza so that we can abolish the Israeli entity.
We are here to support our armed forces and the naval and air force and all of their military efforts, including the striking of a U.S. spy drone. We also praise the latest operation, which captured an Israeli ship in the Red Sea. This was a huge blow to the Zionists.
Despite the announcement of a ceasefire agreement in Palestine, the Yemeni army says it will continue its monitoring of the Red Sea to prevent or capture any ships linked to the Israeli regime. The Palestinian resistance has praised the Yemeni army's stance in supporting Palestinians and for taking decisive military actions against the Israeli regime. The Yemeni Armed Forces spokesperson has also reiterated that attacks against the Israeli entity will continue until the genocide ends. Yusuf Baudi, Sana'a.
In a remarkable display of unity and solidarity, the Palestine Freedom March took place in the heart of Lahore, just a few miles from the U.S. consulate. The proximity of the march to the U.S. consulate added significance to it, as the rally sought to convey message not only to the international community, but specifically to the United States, a key supporter of Israel in the war on Gaza.
Israel ek fascist.
The whole world now understands that Israel is a fascist regime that has occupied Palestinian territories. Israel sheds the blood of Palestinians to continue its existence in the world. The Israeli policy of oppression has been defeated now. These worldwide protests indicate that the concept of peace has won and the narrative of oppressors has been defeated.
The convergence of the people from different backgrounds symbolized a shared commitment to the Palestinian cause, underscoring the gravity of the situation in the besieged Gaza Strip.
People around the world, including Pakistanis, are on the streets and condemning the U.S. and its illegitimate child Israel for their actions in Gaza. Due to increasing public resentment, the U.S. and Israel are under tremendous public pressure, and the real face of the Zionist regime has been exposed in the international community. No oppressor can resist this public pressure anymore.
The event not only highlighted the immediate concern for Gaza, but also exemplified the broader call for justice and peace in the region.
The Palestine issue is a matter of honor for the Muslim community now. The events of Karbala are being repeated in Gaza. They are killing men, women, and children, considering Palestinians to be alone. But Israel and the U.S. should not forget that they are not alone. The whole of humanity stands with the people of Palestine.
United in their demand for peace and justice, the participants of Palestine Freedom March fervently called for a lasting ceasefire in Gaza.
The ongoing protest rallies, boycott of pro-Israeli products, and systematic fundraising initiatives are the examples of how deeply the Pakistani society is committed to helping Palestinian people who are confronting Israeli aggression in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Lahore.
A group of Italian journalists, representatives of media unions and organizations, gathered at the Roman Press Association in Rome to discuss how the ongoing conflict in the Gaza Strip has been biasedly covered by the media so far. The initiative was organized by the No Gag Network, a group that advocates for freedom of expression in Italy, as Palestinian and international journalists trapped in the coastal territory continue to be slaughtered by the Israeli occupation forces.
As of today, we don't know if these journalists have been executed or they have been killed in their homes together with their beloved ones during the Israeli bombardments. And I ask you, would that make any difference? It is horrific anyway.
During the meeting, journalists agreed that a war needs field reporting, condemning Israel's refusal to heed calls to allow independent reporters to access Gaza for direct testimony. Since October 9, the 2.3 million residents of Gaza have been experiencing a devastating near-complete communications blackout.
Killing a journalist is a war crime, and we call on the International Criminal Court to proceed with the examination into what's happening in Gaza.
The Italian journalists also relaunched a petition already signed by 200 French, Palestinian and Lebanese journalists demanding access to Gaza and the protection of journalists covering the Israeli onslaught on the Strip.
La libertà d'informazione viene seppellita sotto le macerie.
Freedom of expression has been buried under Gaza's rubble. Only journalists embedded with the